Welcome back. Yes, we
Woo
are back again. Return of the Mac. Yeah, return of the Mac once again. That's right. Let God Pod season two. We're back better than ever. We had some time to reboost, recharge, and we have some really great ideas for you guys this season. So, yeah. And we thought that since it's kind of back to uni season, that it was only right that we did a starting uni guide, a uni starter pack. That's a better way to call it, a uni starter pack, because we know it's challenging. So we thought we'd give you some tips, but also just like talk about our experiences because we are human, we've been through things. It's okay to flop sometimes. But as usual, before we begin, we're going to open with a word of prayer.
Yeah, let's pray, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we get to be together, back for season two of the Let God podcast, and we thank you for your presence that is with us. As we discuss university and just being honest about how we found it so far, and just staying on track with you and our experiences, and I pray that you would just lead us in the things that we say, and just help us to be truthful and honest, and just show listeners that we can still love you and have fun, and represent you, Father, at university. And I pray that you just guide our conversations, that you help it to be encouraging to those who listen to it. In your name I prayed. Amen.
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 So, guys, to kick this off, what were you most nervous about, like regarding faith, when you started uni or just before you started?
I would say, I think I was nervous about like finding the right church. Not too nervous in like the like I had in my head the type of church I wanted to go to. It was just like making sure it's the right people and that I don't want to be like the only young one in a church. I'm just finding the church that just fits all the criteria that I had listed down. And just finding the church, because when I actually got to Cambridge, I had like two churches I really liked, and I was like, which one should I go to? But yeah, God led me to where I need to go, really. Yeah, so finding community.
I'm the same as I am for that, really. I think my biggest thing was community. I already had a friend that I had met like the year before who happens to live in Cambridge, and so I went to her family's church, like the church that her and her parents, or her and her family goes to, for the first week, and that was cool. But as I emphasized, I just wanted to be like in the right place, like where there were students, and like I want to get lost in the sauce of university life. But then another thing that I had been sort of worried about, sort of faith wise, was like how people would respond to my faith, because I feel like I feel like I was a bit like I had the sort of stereotype of Cambridge being like everyone's like super atheist and people are just gonna want to like science your way through, or like yeah, basically try to logic your way through everything, and people would only want to be super like pragmatic, no space for like faith or sentiment. But that wasn't really the case. And I think at Cambridge or at university you find like the most diverse ways of thinking, whether academically or spiritually, emotionally. So that's something that I was worried about. But again, I thought I found it to be quite enjoyable, opposed to like people like constantly opposing or having ideas that are like so that cause friction with my faith. But yeah, that's it pretty much for me, a community, and how people would respond to my faith.
I think for me it was pretty similar, to do with finding the church, but it was kind of weird because like obviously I'm a Seventh Day Adventist and I knew that there was only one SDA ch church in Cambridge, so I was like, well, girl, if this church doesn't bang, well, I'm in a bit of a sticky situation. So I was kind of worried about that, and because the church I'd grown up in was like particularly small and didn't have that many young people, I was like, please, Lord, just like I really want to be around other young Christians at church. But guys, if I'm gonna keep it 100, because that's how we do it on this podcast, I don't even think like faith and things of that nature were that high up on my priority list when I started uni. It wasn't really something like I agonized over or was really thinking deeply about. I think my struggles and like concerns about my faith and, you know, asking myself questions probably came more towards second year. But yeah, first year, I'm not gonna lie, I was just straight chilling. I was just existing, bro.
'Cause when you start uni, there's Freshers Week, and I guess Freshers Week is different this year. But were there any wild parties, or how did you navigate like the partying scene? I know Cambridge isn't the wildest place, but
Oh, girl, if you know where to lurk. Okay, MH, you go first. You go first.
I have had a story that is super embarrassing, so I don't want to share it. I'm not sure if Winnie knows this story. I bet you know this story. I'm
Girl,
pretty
we
sure
all
we.
about honesty on this pod.
I don't know if I want to share it. Okay, I'm gonna share it. I'll see if I'll keep it, if I'll keep it in. I think a lot of people know this. My close friends know this. But anyway, so it was like my first weekend, and like, and my parents are just very much
Oh,
like,
yeah.
just very. You know the story, yeah? I haven't known the story. My parents are just very much like helicopter parents. I love them to bits. I love them. But you know, it's like I'm their first kid. I'm the daughter. You know, I'm going to university. And they're just thinking of like, I guess like uni lag. So University of Lagos, university experiences. And they just compiled that into what they know uni to be. So it was my first weekend. Keep in mind, so I moved in on the Saturday. And it was now the Sunday. They left literally Sunday morning because they stayed at a hotel. Cool. So it was Nigerian Independence. And they were having something, I think. Oh, can I say, yeah, everyone knows we live in Cambridge. We haven't said that Fez when Sunday Fez was still a thing. And that's a club. I'm gonna talk about clubbing a little bit later. Anyway, it was a club. But long story short, I was there with I went to a house party with a friend, fully if you listen to this, hi. And then it was just a whole big thing. My parents didn't want me to be out, and I was just like, no, I'm gonna stay out. And it was just a whole big thing. Long story short, I just didn't reply to their messages, and I come home at 1 a.m. and they're at my door, at my uni accommodo. Keep in mind, I live in Kent. I live in Kent. I live in Kent, where I lived in Kent. So that was a 90-minute drive. They drove at 2 a.m. because I did not answer my phone. You think I'm joking? I'm not. I'm so serious. I am so dead ass. I remember I was coming into my, like, the way my court was at Cripps, at my college. I was walking on the grass. You're allowed to do that, by the way. So I was walking on the grass, and then I saw people at the glass door. I said, "Who is that at this time of night?" I said, "That is my father. That is my mom." I was so shook. It was a whole big thing. Like, it was a
Please
whole big
describe the
argument.
interaction that occurred once you found
It was
them at
a
your door.
big, big argument because they were like, "You live a fake life. You live a double life." I said. I said, because I wanted to do small party on fun. Like, it was just a whole big thing. But I'm, you know what? As I look back to it retrospectively, I'm genuinely so happy that happened because I think before there was a bit of tension, like, oh, you're 18, but you're still a kid, like, which is fair enough, like, that's what happens. But I think from that conversation, from that period, it was a sort of thing where, like, I had to honestly be like, listen, mom and dad, love you, honor you, respect you so much, but I'm at 18, I'm an adult. Whether you want to acknowledge me as such or not is your own decision. But I need you to understand that from now on, everything, and I say that I said this to them. I don't know how I got away with it. I mean, my parents are not too like crazy anyway. But I was just like, from this point on, anything that you say to me is not a command, it's a suggestion. So we need to sort of
Oh,
move
period.
with that sort of, and it was cool. So since then, it's just sort of been like a bit more relaxed. But yeah, that's my bit of embarrassing story. So at 1 a.m. at my first quote unquote rave, it wasn't even a rave, fam. I didn't like it. But my parents showed up at my uni accommodo because I didn't answer my phone.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
Wait, what was the question again?
like parties,
party stories and things.
Ah, guys, I can't lie.
Freshers week. Just say
In
freshers week.
Freshers Week, I was doing enjoyment, enjoyment.
Enjoyment, enjoyment,
It party after
Honestly,
party.
party after party. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Is there even one story? But on the first night I went out, one of my friends ended up in A&E. On the second night,
Oh.
she was there again. And we were all, to be honest, all hyping up the antics. You know what I mean? The second night she ended up was definitely because of our bad influences. I will hold my hands up and say that. It was definitely because of us. But yeah, guys, you know me. If you listen to the testimony episode, you know that in first year I was doing a lot. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to you that I was doing enjoyment. Nothing too crazy. Like, I don't want you guys thinking I was, you know, smoking things and popping things.
That's what stuff does happen, though. That's what stuff does happen,
but as for me and my household, no matter how far we drift, our anchor is still the good Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Preach, preacher.
Yeah, so for me, it was just basically, you know, drinking, like going to clubs, that kind of thing, but nothing like, I mean, by like maybe the world standards, it wasn't anything too crazy, but we know that, you know, we do not conform to the patterns of the world. Another amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amper, what about you?
Mine was quite like mild. We had like a bop on the Saturday, and I remember.
Oh,
I
do you want to explain what a college bop is, by the way?
It's like, it's called a big organized party. It's like,
is that what it stands for?
Is that what it stands for? It's, you know, I've never been to a bop in my life.
No, I thought they just chose bop like.
As like a bop to the top. Yeah. Bop to the top.
No, it was okay. Party. It was just like a lot of like our year basically in like a dark room, and then me and Drew came in together and we're like, we can't stand this music. Let's ask them to put on at least Drake. That's quite
mild,
universal. Mm. Yeah, mm. And we're gonna step it up slowly. So they played some Drake, and they played it for a little bit, and then we're like, yeah, the music is enough. And then later on in the week, there was like pub crawls, and I remember I was going like, I need to open myself to different opportunities because you never know when you like meet the people. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a pub crawl, and I didn't drink anything, and people and then people was wondering, why did you even come?
Guys, was, like, such an aside, but like pubs literally scare me.
Yeah.
Like, honestly,
I love a pub. I can't lie. I love really? A pub.
Weatherspoons is the only one.
Yeah,
Weatherspoons I can deal with because I just sit away from everything and eat my chicken wings. But they really give me like EDL vibes. So sorry if anyone loves pubs, but they give me very like Ingerland, you know?
With the flag.
Yeah, period.
No, you gotta go with the blacks. Like, you gotta go with a whole group of your own type of people to make you feel some type of way.
They went to Weatherspoons. Dangerous foods. Oh my god.
Oh my god, guys.
I'll never step foot in that wretched place again that they call Dangerous Boons. The way this uncle moved to me, this is a consistent pattern. I always get moved to by uncles, guys. It's really a problem. But guys, in terms of like, okay, so we've all spoken about our experiences and everything. I definitely hold my hands up. I wasn't the model Christian citizen, but like, if you could go back and like give advice, like what would you kind of say to students about to start uni on how to navigate that kind of partying, drinking, clubbing space as a Christian?
I think two things for me. I was gonna say when you first posed a question, I was gonna say know what you believe and stick to it, which I do think is valid, but at the same time I'm thinking back to myself, I knew what I believed and I didn't stick to it, so
bird.
So let's just okay. But I remember before I went to uni, my parents had a little like going away thing for me, and my uncle said, you know, like as you go to uni, you're gonna like meet different people and experience different things. And he said, you know, like if you feel something is wrong, it probably is. Mm-hmm. So just trust your gut instinct. And I think that even as I like went to clubs for a couple of times, I told like I and one of our other friends this, like it just didn't feel right to me. It's like my personal, the girls know this, but like my personal conviction is I don't go clubbing. It's just not an atmosphere that I think is conducive to my spirit and my walk with God. So I think, yeah, it wasn't until I had those experiences that it really solidified for me, yeah, like this is not what I want to be doing, like just me. But yeah, I think it just be trust that your conviction will lead you where you need to go. And then also, if you have something that you believe in, like if it's just you don't drink, then don't drink. Or if you have a tolerance and you don't do this, or if you don't go specific places or with specific people, if you're going with people that you know to uni after a specific event, or, you know, and within a specific context, then just try to stick to that. Because I feel like now that we're going into third year, you look back and you're just like, that didn't need to be done. Like, I could have really been at home. Like, I could have really been at home. But yeah, that's my advice.
Yeah, mine's kind of similar to yours, to like set boundaries for yourself. And but I also think that sometimes, even though you set boundaries, you still want to experience some things, and that would just push you in the other direction. So I think it's also important to like know yourself. Like, even though you set boundaries, if you try something, like, don't beat yourself up. Not illegal, but not illegal. We do some not things, condone that. But I think it's important to like have your own beliefs and not to make rules for yourself set on what other people have told you, and not because my parents said drinking is bad, I won't drink. Because when someone has a bottle in front of your face, it's not your parents that will be in your head.
Your parents aren't there.
Literally. Yeah. You're going to be thinking of Hen Joyman. That's what you're thinking.
Precisely that. I definitely agree with you, especially on, you know, kind of knowing why you do and don't stand for certain things, and not just based off what you've heard. I think for me, it would be about kind of knowing your limits. So, for example, if... like, some Christians don't drink at all, for example. That's completely fine. That's their prerogative, their conviction. Some Christians drink but don't get drunk. Equally, that's their conviction. But, like, whichever stage you're at, like, kind of know your limits. And I think kind of maybe don't put yourself in situations where that might be compromised if you don't feel that strong-willed. So, for example, I knew that in first year, I was going out and stuff like that. And I kind of still drink, but I, like, know my limits. So in second year, I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to go out. And I basically didn't go out for the whole year, apart from, like, towards the end, around the time of, like, ACS affair and those kind of things. Because I knew, like, if I go out and my friends are, like, drinking a whole bottle of wine, etc., etc., then you're going to be tempted to do what they're doing because you're in that, and not because your friends are bad people, but like because, you know, you might be more inclined to follow the crowd. So I think if you see yourself going in a direction that you don't like, try to avoid the situation completely. Sometimes that's the easiest way to do it before you master your own discipline. Another thing I would touch on is what Ayonfe said, like, if you do mess up, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, I think guilt is a very powerful emotion that Satan definitely uses against you and will make you feel like you can't, like, come to the Father and, like, oh, there's no going back, I can't believe you did this, like, you're such a bad person, like, but just know that God's grace is sufficient. It's, you know, he's able to, you know, forgive everything and even forget everything you've done. Obviously, don't abuse that grace. Please, we don't cheapen God's grace here. But just know that it's not a thing. I don't think anyone can look back at their time at uni and say, I did absolutely everything right. I did everything by the book, you know. So if you do make mistakes, God's grace is there.
Okay. So, like, dealing with temptation with uni, how do you guys... at uni, excuse me, how did you guys, or how are you guys, since we're still sort of in university, navigating that? Or, you know, are there things that you, I don't want to say wish you could have done, because this is not meant to be, like, a regret-filled episode, but, you know, like, that you would tell yourself, like, oh, baby, don't do that, or, no, you could do that, or watch out for these people, or this atmosphere, or something like that.
So, I think when it comes to dealing with temptation, to, you know, take this a little more biblical, I think a lot can be learned from the example of Jesus being tempted in the desert. So I think just really being able to draw on that, so, you know, kind of knowing the word of God, I think that kind of comes back to what we said about, you know, knowing your principles and your moral foundations, kind of being able to recognize what is a temptation, and kind of like recognizing when the enemy is kind of, using your weaknesses against you, whether that's to do with, you know, drinking, partying, relationships, that kind of thing. I think knowing what your kind of triggers are, for want of a better word, and knowing how to recognize them. I think also not trying to overcome things in your own strength. I think, like, don't underestimate the power of prayer. And genuinely, like, that sounds so cliche, but I think if you realize that you can't resist some things in your own strength and you really rely on God and let Him take care of it, that's the best way to go about it. That's certainly what I know now. I'm not saying I knew this when I started uni.
No, I agree. I think as you spoke about scripture, I was just looking through my Bible app, and this is in 1 Timothy 2:22 that we should run away from youthful lust. And I think sometimes it can be like, it's okay, no, like I'm straight, I got it, I got it, like I can handle this. But scripture literally tells us to run, like literally, like flee, like don't try to like fight the temptation. I mean, yeah, just don't try to fight the temptation in terms of like putting yourself in atmospheres that may be injurious to your like spiritual state, just so that you can like be part of the enjoyment. Like, because at the end of the day, it's going to be more detrimental to you than helpful.
Yeah, that was the exact thought in my head. Like the Bible passage just says, like flee, like avoiding, of to avoid putting yourself in situations where you can be tempted. For example, about like willpower and how it diminishes. So like the more choices you have to make when it gets to the end of the day, the more tired you'll be to make certain choices, so that you'll be more likely to do like the easier option. So just putting things in place that where you don't have to make a choice, you just do what you're going to do type of thing. So yeah, and just knowing what to do when you get to certain crossroads, I think will be really helpful. Yeah.
Another thing that I think is really helpful just when it comes to navigating uni as a Christian in general is having a strong Christian community. And I feel like, as Mary Hannah would describe it, that's a Christianese term. But I think just basically being around other Christians, having friends who have the same values as you, is super, super, super important. Like, I can't stress it enough. And I think for me, like, speaking of my own experiences, like, there weren't, I only know of like two other SCAs who are at uni. One of them was a PhD student and she's left. The other one was in our year. But like, I felt like, I don't know, there wasn't that many other people to kind of lean on or that understood. And also because like the church was kind of far away, so I wasn't really going to stuff midweek. I think me not making the effort to go to church more often and get involved with church things outside of like Sabbath, outside of just going to church, like massively allowed myself to slip through the cracks kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? And that's one thing. I wouldn't say a regret, but like one thing, if I could definitely go back and tell myself something, it would be to look out for Christian friends sooner and just make sure like I had that. Because I think that's another perception that you have, especially because I told you like where I grew up in my church, there weren't that many other young people. So I think my perception of Christian youth was that they're all like just weirdos who just don't, I wouldn't be able to relate to them or fit in, and like just like really quiet and sneaky. And I think maybe part of that's cultural because I'm from York, y'all. So maybe if I had known, let's say, different types of Christians growing up, that perception wouldn't be there. But I really did just think, oh, Christians are neeks. Do you know what I mean? Sorry to y'all, but yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on Christian community?
I found community really important, and that was one thing from starting uni that I was really glad that I did. Like, I joined Christian Union on the second day, literally, and I'm like, some of my friends I made there are like my close friends now from college, and I really appreciate the community in terms of like encouraging each other, having people to just speak to during the week. But also, like, we used to have I didn't used to go too much in first year just because I thought my schedule couldn't allow it. But then in second year, when I was Christian Union rep for my college, we did early morning prayers, Bible studies before lectures.
That sounds so lovely.
And it used to calm me down so much, especially second term, which is like very hectic for medicine in second year, like preparing for Bible study and then just going into our college chapel and just like relaxing, taking a deep breath. Like we used to just listen to some music, like read a word and just meditate for like 5 minutes and then just speak about it before we went into like what we're going to talk about. And that used to calm me down, just listening to other people and really hearing words of encouragement directed towards you. Like was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, honestly. Robinson's Chapel is really, 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 really pretty as well. It's quite nice. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Christian community was something I really prayed for before I went to uni, because I was just like, I don't know. I mean, all my best mates have always, like, outside of school, my best mates have always had the same sort of, like, religious background as me. And so that's just something I valued. And as I emphasized, said, I think getting to uni and finding that relatively early really, really helped. But I think one thing I would also say is that sort of coming back to temptation and just finding out what you stand for and what you won't do. Like, especially for me in second year, when I became more like definitive about, oh, I'm not doing this, I want to stay away from that. It really helped to like have friends who I told that to. So like I have one friend, Leanne, I love you. And I was like, Leanne, I'm not going clubbing. So if you see me want to go clubbing, tell me I'm not going. And literally like it was one day, there was one ACS event and overlapped with like one of all of our close friends like birthday and everyone was going out and like another uni was there. It was just gonna be lots of fun. It was like the Oxford ACS, just a whole big thing and it was cute. And I was like, oh, I want to go out, everyone's here having fun. And my friend Leanne was like, you're not going. She's like, go home.
Oh, I remember, because you just took pictures of me and I on pain. She just said bye.
Yeah, I
said,
oh. And I'm just like, I'm so grateful that she said, because like she was going out, like Leanne was going out and all her friends were going out. And she was like, I know everyone's going out, but you don't want to go out. Like, you know that you don't. And I will always love her for that, amongst various other reasons. But yeah, so I just think having that community that can also keep it a bug with you about what you believe, because equally, like if I told my friends, oh guys, I don't want to drink, or I don't know, anything else, or like how you would tell your friend, don't text me or don't do this until I finish my essay. Having that sort of like accountability in the spirit, I guess, context really, really helped. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I definitely hear you on that. And like equally, I feel like that's why it's important to have a Christian community. But I also feel like if you're definitive and set those boundaries for yourself, other people will respect them. Because I found like in second year, like I was just like, oh, to Jen, you guys know Jen, I've shouted her out before, shout out to Jen Okram, woo! I was just like, oh man, like, you know, I've been going through a lot with my faith over summer. Like, Jen isn't religious, but I was just like, I just don't really think I want to go out and stuff anymore. And she was like, okay, like, do you want me to make it easier for you? Like, I won't, you know, ask you if you're going or like talk about it loads and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what, that would be really helpful, you know. And like, so when it came to it, if I ever was like, you know what, I think I'll just go out, and she'd be like to me, are you sure? And not even in like a keeping me in check, just as a kind of way of being like, I feel like you'll be upset with yourself if you go, so just make sure you think about this twice. So I think like it's really important to have people around you who understand you. And also, I just wanted to talk about Christian Union, because I feel like this is something else. Because y'all, this is no secret. If you follow me on Twitter, you will know I cannot get down to Oyinbo guitar worship music. Like, it's just not for me. It's just not for me. That's Muzungu for all my Southern Africans listening. It just doesn't. Honestly, guys, I've tried it, and I feel like that's the vibe that Christian Union gives to me. And it's not like she said as campus ambassador I can confirm that is the vibe, because No, guys, I've really tried. There was a time where, guys, I even put in the group chat, I was like, send me your best hill song playlist. Like, I want to try and get into it. And I listened to it like this. So I feel like maybe if there was some sort of like society that was like Christian Union, and I don't want to say it was like Black Christian Union, but just with like elements that I just felt more comfortable vibing with and could really get down to, you
On
know,
that note,
I would
wait,
love that for me.
continue.
But I do think, I was just gonna say, I do think like if your uni has a Christian
That's
union,
what I was
which it
going to say.
probably
Like,
does, try
coming
it.
to uni, like, I am Fairfax part of the Christian Union. I have not been to a single Christian Union. I've been to one, maybe. I went to one Christian Union event in first year when it was exams, and so I didn't have nothing to do. So my exams were finished, and so I went to one of the Christian Union events. But otherwise, I've never been to a Christian Union. I've never done a college thing. I've never been to anything. Even like the girl who runs a Christian Union at my college is going to be like the Christian Union president. So like she's really involved and she's amazing. She does it so well. But that wasn't gel with me. And so I did things more heavily with my church. So in terms of like finding Christian community, just because everyone is doing CU or whatever Christian circles they have. I know at Warwick they have like PINSA and that's like Christian youth, and that's like super cool and everything. But I think the most important thing is to find something that you can stick and commit to. Sticking and committing to church and like having student run Bible groups and things like that just worked for me, and I really enjoyed it and I loved it. Some people love CU, some people love what is the thing called? I don't know if you all know. Is it called Open Love, Open Heart, where they do like social outreach and they do like homeless stuff, homeless initiatives, and that's super cool and people love
Oh,
that.
cute.
So yeah, just find the stuff that works for you, because it's not going to be one specific place that you're going to find Christian people who are like your speed, sort of. Because as we will say now, and I will say it until the day that the Lord takes me home, Christianity is not a personality trait, it is a lifestyle. So if you're thinking that you're going to go to one place
That
and find
way.
people who are going to be just like you, think
That
again.
way.
Trust me, you're not going to find a lot of people looking or talking like us at the Cambridge Christian Union. So honey,
Period.
go find yourself a place where
Period.
where you can feel
That way.
more at home, if that's what you're
That
looking
way.
for.
I do think also like student-led Bible studies are a really great idea. I personally like that because I feel like it's easy to talk freely. You can go where you know your friends are going, that kind of thing. I have flirted with the idea of starting one next year, but who knows with COVID. So stay tuned, Cambridge babes. I've got you potentially. Ew.
So guys, we talked a little bit about, partying, temptation, community. What about like money, the dinero? Like, I feel like that's the sort of thing that people don't really talk about a little bit. And I just want to know, like, so did you guys, how did you navigate like money in terms of like tithing, offerings, that sort of thing with like being at uni, student loan, I was about to say FAFSA, but that's American. Student loan, stuff like that, grants, like did you give, how did you give? What are your opinions on that?
I'm gonna be honest. I gave offerings, but I did not tithe. Apart from when I was working. So when I worked, I tithed that. But then, yeah, I have that hidden away because I'm going to use it for God, but in a not giving it to church, but in a different type of way. But I believe, I don't know. I always had the thought that my parents always say that you shouldn't tithe like debt. And that's what student loan is. So that's why I personally didn't tithe like student loan and stuff. But then when I was working, I tithed that money. So that's the only thing. But I made sure to like give my offerings when I remembered.
No, I hear that. I hear that too. I think Winifa is just moving around. I'll share my situation. I think I was sort of like, I always like grew up as sort of similar to Aunt Fes said, in a familiar environment that like valued tithing. So my parents tithed, they still do tithe, and then offerings was like, I guess, what you give surplus or just what you give out of your heart. And so I did tithe because I wasn't like, I got student loan, but my parents were also helping me out, so I tithed on what my parents were helping me out with. And then, as Ayanfa said, like when I got to uni and like people actually spoke, our church spoke about tithing on student loan and things, and they were like, yeah, they don't really believe that you should tithe on debt, which is, as Ayanfa said, what student loan is. So I think that's something to consider. I've had friends who like were in just sort of sticky financial situations, not at uni, not at our uni, but at others, who just like it was a bit difficult for them to tithe, and so like that was just something that they were sort of wrestling with. I don't know. I think when it comes to money and being young, like nobody wants to be poor. Like let's just keep it a buck. Nobody wants to be at university poor. Like you're already barely struggling, barely eating, rather barely surviving sometimes. When you use all your money at, I don't know, 3 takeaways consecutively last week. But at the same time, I think God does honor our sacrifice, mm-hmm. and so I think there's an aspect of faith. That comes when it's like, yeah, I know I could use X amount of money for something else, or to like buy myself some cute formal outfits, or you know, do something fun. But I'm gonna give this to the Lord. I think that God really does honor that. But at the same time, I think even with offerings, like I stopped giving my offerings to church because I just don't want to do that anymore. So I decided to give my offerings to like homeless people, or like, if I wanted to donate to something that I saw on Twitter or GoFundMe or whatever it is, then I would do that. So I think tithing is important. I personally think it's important, but there are also other ways that you can acknowledge God with your money and with your finances if you're just tithing on student loan, or if you only have student loan, XYZ.
So yeah, personally didn't tithe, but I gave... Guys, we're keeping it a book. I didn't tithe. I gave offerings, even here and there. I'm going to be honest. My offering donation very much mirrored my church attendance, which was...
I love the honesty, bro.
So, if I was there, I gave. If I wasn't, which I often wasn't, I didn't. But I've tried to be more consistent with it recently, doing church remotely and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Because I also find it a lot easier to just like bank transfer. That's another thing which I feel like we don't talk about that much, is that unless your card is coming, that your church is coming around with a card reader, like who has cash, especially in these coronavirus times? Like, you know what I mean? So, but I think actually, no, that's just me being poor, because I do think my church has always put the bank details on the screen. Girl... Basically, what I will say as well is that God loves a cheerful giver. So anything you're going to give, like, don't give it begrudgingly. And I think if you're in a very tight spot financially, as to be honest, I was during a lot of uni. Guys, in second term of first year, the way I dropped soup in shits from my waist because I was eating Weetabix and soup. Only, period. Because, you know, I'm in what they call the squeezed middle, so things were a bit difficult. So I think the idea of like tithing and stuff, coupled with where I was mentally and like in terms of faith and everything, it wasn't even something that crossed my mind, to be perfectly honest. But I would say maybe if you're in a better financial position, and obviously, you know, a lot of it is to do with faith. Like, to be honest, if I had given tithes and offerings while I was struggling, I know that God wouldn't have let me die. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes, like, it's easy to say that, you know, oh, have faith, you know, God is able. But when it comes to actually doing it, it's like your purse strings are like, ooh, shut, close. You know what I mean? And it's hard. It's hard to, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk. But yeah, I would say that God loves a cheerful giver. And like, I like that you highlighted giving money to homeless people, because I think there's a lot of different ways that you can give back to God. Like, I think the idea of us being blessed with things is to bless other people and to further, you know, the work of the kingdom, and to, you know, really just show God's character in different ways. And I think it's like a little bit, if you're like happy to give money to church, but if you see a homeless person and you don't even feel slightly moved to do anything. And like, this is definitely a conversation for another day, but I have seen a lot of discourse, especially around homelessness on the TL, that's been kind of bothering me. So I feel like we should dissect that another time. But I would just say this, homeless people are also children of God. And judge not lest ye be judged. And also remember the parable of the sheep and the goats, child. That's all I'm going to say on that for now. But I do think, yeah, there are more ways to give your money. And also, I think when it comes to giving back to God, don't just think of it as, oh, I have to give money. Think about how you can dedicate your time, services, talents to God as well. Because in a way, I feel like that's kind of like an offering. You're giving back what God has given to you. So, yeah.
And I think a way that you can incorporate it is getting involved in church things, whether it's just volunteering or just offering some time to set up or to put things down, pack the chairs away.
Carry your three chairs, impress your babes.
Yeah, or just like doing something for someone, like helping
Oh,
give
gosh.
someone a tea or coffee or something like that.
Something that's like dedicated. Yeah. So, guys, we've been chit-chatting for a while. I think to kind of close up, one final question. What's the main piece of advice you would give to Christians starting uni, just in general?
For me, I think it'd be find a church slash routine that works for you, like really works for you, and stick to it. Like, I will be honest, my church, okay, so the first church I went to with a friend, with my friend's family that I mentioned, they had like a church bus and everything, and it was super cool. But it was far, like 25-ish minutes, more than that actually, from where I was living, where my culture was based, because they pick up people from around Cambridge town and the suburbs a little bit. And so it was cool and it's pretty and it was a really nice church, but it was too far. And I was like, I won't be able to do this every week. When I'm tired, I'm not gonna go, and I'm not gonna be able to go to young adult stuff. So that didn't work for me. My actual church now is literally like 4 minutes door to door, like from my actual Uniacom to like the entrance of the church. And maybe it's a bit lazy, but like that just it genuinely works for me. So like if you're in a place where like your accommodation is sort of spread out from your friends and all your mates are going to a specific church, like be honest about what's going to work for you. And I think that also goes with like morning routines and things like that. I personally believe that people should have, as Christians, we should have like dedicated meditation time with the Lord every day. I think for me, at least, that just really centers my day. But one thing I also had to learn when you have like 9 a.m. for first year, or you have to like write a super something really fast in the morning, sometimes that can get pushed to the side if you're genuinely tired and you feel like you're running on zero. So find a routine that works for you, but at the same time, be a little bit flexible. Like sometimes I feel like, oh my gosh, if I haven't read my Bible in the morning, like my whole day is gonna be upside down. It's gonna be a mess. But it's like God's grace isn't with me because I read my Bible. God's grace is with me because He's God. Yeah, literally. Christianity is not a
It's not a
meritocracy,
reward.
so it's just like it's the heart. The heart's posture of spending time with the Lord. And so if that meant like had a long day and I had my X amount of time before bed or when I got home, then so be it. And God doesn't love me any less. And it doesn't have to be a specific time frame or, any of that. It's just honest, like time with Jesus, being still, reading the word, whatever it may be. So that's my little piece of advice. Find a routine that sticks to you. Find a church that you like that's going to work for you in terms of like transport and all of it, and stick to that.
Mine would be to kind of like what Mary Hannah said about churches, but really, I don't feel like just because your friends are going to one particular church, then that has to be the church for you. So I remember like when I first joined, like most of the people in my college were going to one church, and I tried out a different church and actually and was between the two, but I ended up liking the second church, and it just work because like now in my college everyone goes to a different church in the whole of Cambridge, and I have so many friends, Christian friends I'm really close to, that we go to different types of churches and we talk and we can still share the gospel. We just found each other somehow. So don't feel like you have to do follow and be following your friends to churches even though you don't, you might not enjoy it. And also, especially in the first few months or weeks, however long it takes to try different churches, especially if you've been to the same church since you're a child, like you don't know, you need to know what's out there before you make your final decision. So you shouldn't be like just doing that for ever, like you have to settle down after a while, but to look around at different churches and see which one suits you and just which ones you enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like what both of you have said. I just want to touch briefly on what you guys said before I give mine. But yeah, Mayhana, I definitely agree with you. Routine is so important. And I think one thing that's really sunk into me this year is that like time spent with God is never wasted. And like I think I used to always use the excuse of, guys, I'm a law student, I'm not gonna lie to you, my degree is hefty. Yeah, so I'd always be like, oh, I'm too busy to this and this, and like my supers won't get done. But honestly, in second year, I was struggling so much to balance everything, but it was only when I set apart dedicated time in the morning to actually read the Bible and listen to a podcast before starting my day. And when I started fully taking Sabbath off, so like on Saturdays, well, Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, when I go to church, like I don't do any work whatsoever. And somehow everything was getting patterned. Like I was still meeting my deadlines, my work quality wasn't slipping. And I realized, like, I think it's an element of faith that comes into it as well. Like, you have to have faith that if I put my book down and just give this one day to the Lord, or this one hour in the morning, like, he's gonna be
Yeah,
faithful, you
that's
know
so
what I
good.
mean? He's not gonna fail me for honoring him and giving him time. So I think really just trusting God, trusting your God-given ability as well. Like, I can read. God gave me the ability to read, you know what I mean? I can read in 1 hour less. And with God, I feel like the things that I could read in 5 hours, I can read in 2 hours, you know, by his strength. And yeah, I don't feel what you said. I think we need to really remember that church isn't just the building, like church is the people. And so like even though I don't physically go to church, the building with you two, I feel like you guys are my church. You know what I mean? We can still talk about things, and so community is very important. But yeah, what I would just say is I think what I would definitely recommend is like when you go to uni, just be bold about your faith. I think often there's like a tendency to kind of shy away, or you don't want to do too much. And I even get those thoughts now. I'm like, oh, is everyone on my Twitter tired of seeing my, you know, Christian hot takes? And I just think, hang on, hang on, hang on, because Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't, how can I be ashamed to, you know, just wear that badge of being a Christian? And I know that, you know, some people think it comes with negative connotations and might make assumptions, but
Period
honestly,
though.
no one can come and kill you, firstly. And like, secondly, I just think that in a way, you kind of showing your Christianity and wearing that proudly, showing God's goodness and kindness to other people, if anything, that's helping other people to experience God's goodness. And I feel like, is that not what we're called to do? You know what I mean? Like, just really believe in your source, but also believe in Jesus's source, because I strongly believe like he can't put me anywhere that my enemies will abuse me for being a Christian. And genuinely, that's just what I think. So especially when you're young and like everyone's kind of finding themselves and you're free to kind of be who you want to be, don't be afraid for that to be
Yeah, I
a
very much
Christian.
agree. Like one of the people in my college, remember in like the first few weeks, because he's a medic as well, one of the girls said like, because we learn about evolution, science, blah blah blah, and some people believe that Christianity and science can't work together. Yeah, and then she was like, so isn't all we're learning just like completely against what you believe? And then she laughed at him, and I remember he came and was like, but I what I loved about him was like he didn't sway, like he responded straight away. And it was type of thing, like don't like be prepared to back up or to defend your beliefs sometimes. Like you're not always looking for an argument, but just know what you believe in and know why, so that when people challenge you, like you're on a solid ground and you won't be wavering or stuttering, that type of thing. So yeah, that personally, that was something that really encouraged me, just seeing how he responded to it. And I thought, like, am I in the same position that if someone said that to me, would I be able to be so bold?
Yeah, that's so good. Just on the lines of that, I know we're meant to be ending, but I got this book earlier this year, and I think every Christian should read it. It's called The Science of God. I'm sat on my table. It's like by Gerald R. Schroeder. If you just type in The Science of God, it's I've got for like £3. It's so good, and it outlines like how science and Christianity are not, you know, like mutually exclusive. And I think also, guys, like just genuinely knowing scripture just makes a world of a difference. Not like knowing everything, like I know this verse like the back of my hand, but like, literally reading the Bible and seeing things just makes like it helps things become more clear, elucidated. Like, for example, I remember I saw something on somebody's Instagram when I still had Instagram last year, and it was like, I can't believe Christians believe that the earth used to be flat. But in, I'm pretty sure it's Isaiah 40 something, please don't quote me on it, in Isaiah it talks about, the writer is talking about the circle of the earth. How did they know that the earth was circle X amount of thousands of years ago? Or in another passage, it talks about how the earth's center is lava, or the molten at the center of the earth, when they only found that out in the 20th century. So it's like, how did these biblical people know that? Like, simple things, like actually knowing scripture shows that the things that we used to consider as discrepancies really are not there. But yeah, that book, The Science of God, I would totally recommend it. It's really, really good.
Thanks. I think I'll look that up. That's really cool.
Okay, guys. Yeah, I think that's really cool. It for our first episode of season 2.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed it. And this is just the start of season 2. We have really important, really exciting episodes coming up as well. Make sure to get in contact with us on all our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Tweet us. We still have our anonymous Google form if you want to add any suggestions, have any questions for us. If you have any topics that are burning on your heart that you want us to discuss, or if you have any prayer points, any things you just want to talk through about, all our DMs are open. Yeah, we're always open for a chat. Make sure you share the podcast with all your friends. We're going to update our playlist soon. Yeah, just get excited for the rest of season 2.
I think that's it.
We've seen a lot of growth in season 1, and we're really excited as well.
I'm so excited for it.
Amen. Let me